Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 10, we read an interesting verse. The first part of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 10 says, "Delight is not seemly for a fool." Delight is not seemly for a fool. Now, when you read that, it's probably helpful to look up the words to make sure that you understand exactly what Solomon is saying here. Delight is something that gives great pleasure or satisfaction. There's some other definitions, but that's what he's referring to here. Delight is something that gives great pleasure or satisfaction. For an example, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 at verse 8, and you'll see these delights. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8, Solomon said, "I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts." So silver and gold and the treasure of kings and singing men and women and other delights of the sons of men, such as musical instruments, those are all things that give great pleasure or satisfaction. So that's what he's saying when he says delight is not seemly for a fool. He's talking about those things that give great pleasure or satisfaction. Seemly means something that's suitable or fitting, that a thing is suitable or fitting. So something that gives great pleasure or satisfaction is not suitable or fitting for a fool. You say, well, why is that? Well, as one preacher said, a fool doesn't have the self-control or the common sense to handle it. Ah, well, there we go. In other words, delight is something that comes from certain things that we read about in the Bible, but they're not fitting for a fool because they'll destroy him. He will destroy himself with pleasure. Now, the examples in the Bible are numerous, and so we'll only look at some of them, but the ones we look at will give you a real good idea about the other ones as well. In other words, if we don't cover your particular area or something that comes to mind, well, it will get your mind thinking, and you will certainly consider others as well. Here's an example of something that is a delight: money. Okay? Money. Wealth, as you know, can be very beneficial. And, according to the Bible, strong men know how to handle wealth. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11 at verse 16. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16, the Bible says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." So a strong man, you know, will know how to handle money. In other words, he can use it appropriately, and it won't use him. But in the hands of a fool, wealth is disastrous. And one of the great examples from the Bible, of course, is the prodigal son. He's a prime example. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15, let's just read a few verses. Let's begin reading with verse 11. So a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, did just what he said he was going to do. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and so forth. Now, you know, the prodigal son is a prime example of how money in the hands of a fool became disastrous. Delight is not seemly for a fool. The pleasures that come from, that can be obtained with money, not for a fool. Why? Because he doesn't have the self-control, he doesn't have the common sense to handle it. And in this case, this man spent all, and I mean, and had wasted his substance. Now, there are very few fools who have messed up with money that have come to themselves like the prodigal son did. He came to himself, the Bible says, and then he returned to his father and straightened all that out. And the reason is that once a fool has made a mess with his money, if he ever gets his hand on some more, he's already learned how. He's going to make another mess. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. That's what happens to it. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, he that maketh himself rich and yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself rich and yet hath nothing. It's like, what happened? It's the vanity of it. He doesn't know how to handle it. In the hands of a fool, it's disastrous. Proverbs 28:22 says, He that hasteth to be rich considereth not that he hath an evil eye, and poverty shall come upon him. So how is that? You would think if he has the wealth, if he has the riches, that he would accumulate, that he would invest, that he would prosper. But it's not so. It vanishes. What happens to that money is, like Solomon said, it makes wings and flies away. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, Solomon said, He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. What happens is he gets a little bit and he's like, hey, this is good. I need to get me some more. And so he stays with it till he gets some more. It's kind of like, it's like the theme of Las Vegas. The guy goes and he starts out with whatever he's betting with and he increases it. And he says, man, this is good. I'm gonna do some more and do some more. And then suddenly, not only has he lost it all, now he owes. You say, how in the world could that possibly happen? Because he wasn't satisfied with the little bit that he had. He just had to have more. And so forth. So what happens with this money is that in the hands of a fool, it is disastrous. Delight is not seemly for a fool. Now, wise men know what to do with money. A wise man knows not to love it. The love of money is the root of all evil. He knows not to trust it. There are a lot of people who have put away funds for the future, and they're trusting in those funds to take care of them. But the Bible says, He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. He knows not to covet it. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples after two men approached him about sorting out their inheritance, or actually one did. He said, I want you to help me settle this account with my brother. And the Lord told his disciples, Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You're not richer because you own more. A wise man knows not to withhold it. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. He hangs on to it until it corrupts in his hand. He knows not to spend it up, which is a real problem for a foolish person. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. See? Delight is not seemly for a fool. He'll spend it up. Whereas a wise man knows not to do that. He lives within his means. He spends less than he receives. He knows not to borrow it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, the borrower is the servant of the lender. And boy, I mean, if you've ever been in that situation before, the lender will tell you what to do. There's a book that was written, and actually it's been updated or revised, but The New Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You read something like that, and it shows you how through the World Bank and other types of international funds, economists were able to go to certain countries and load them up with debt so that they could improve their infrastructure, make a few people in the country wealthy, and obligate the country to the lending nation, in this case, the United States of America. And a wise man knows not to put himself in that situation because the borrower is the servant of the lender. What does a wise man do? He gives it liberally. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And Paul uses that explanation in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when it comes to giving. And he goes on to say, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He knows that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. So, you know, in the hands of a wise man, it could be a useful thing, but in the hands of a fool, money is absolutely unseemly. Delight is unseemly for a fool. All right, let's go back to our text, Proverbs chapter 19. Delight is not seemly for a fool. So there's a great example right there with money. I'll give you another one. Sex. Delight is not seemly. It's not fitting, not suitable for a fool. God gave men and women the delight of sexual relations as part of marriage. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I know I'm quoting a lot of these verses rapidly, but that's just to give you, you know, that information from the Scripture, that testimony of the Scripture. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice this chapter is about marriage, and it's also about those that can not being married. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 34, look at this. I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now notice, when a man is married, his concern is how he may please his wife. And when a woman is married, her concern is how she may please her husband. That is when the marriage is right. The husband pleases his wife, and she pleases him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3, 4, and 5, you see basically the same thing. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Watch it. The wife hath not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, your inability to restrain yourself. All right, now look. So you understand then in the physical relations that are a part of marriage, it's not what the one person can get out of the relationship for his own pleasure, but rather how he can please his wife, she can please him, as it concerns all things and the marriage bed as well. A fool gets into these physical relations for his own pleasure, selfishly. And a good example of what happens to, you know, delight is not seemly for a fool. Let me show you a fool in 2 Samuel chapter 13. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 2, we're reading about a fellow named Amnon. Now, the whole passage goes from verse 2 all the way down to verse 15, but what's happening here is simply this. Amnon was so vexed in verse 2 of 2 Samuel 13 that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Well, Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, and Jonadab told Amnon, they were first cousins, how to cook up a scheme to trick Tamar into coming to his room. So Tamar came to his room to make some bread for him to eat, some cakes for him to eat, and Amnon commanded all the men that were in the room after a period of time to get out so that now he's alone with Tamar. And then when she brings the cakes to him while he's in bed, he forces her. He rapes her. And in verse 15, after he has shamed her, the Bible says, and this is wild, Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, begone. Arise, begone. Isn't that amazing? So he defiled her. He took her virginity. And then when he was through with her, wanted nothing more to do with her. I want to ask you a question. How many foolish young ladies and foolish young men have messed themselves up and others with this delight, this thing that God gave us that has been misused by fools? I'm sure that it's just a mind-boggling number. In Proverbs chapter 7, here's a fool. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7, verse 6, for the context, at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, watch it, here's a fool, a man void of understanding. All right? So that's what Solomon saw. Well, what did he do? He went out in the area of town where women hung out. Verse 10, a woman with the attire of an harlot, okay? He's going her way at night. Well, she finds him, she kisses him, and makes, you know, some arrangements to be with him. And the Bible says in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 7, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. So this thing leads him into a trap and ruins him. Now listen, if you're a fool, or if you get yourself entangled with a fool, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. You say, why? Because delight is unseemly for a fool. You end up with unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, jealousies, broken hearts, unfaithful marriages, divorce, and all that kind of stuff. You know what wise men and wise women do? They don't rush into marriage for this delight. They don't involve themselves in premarital physical activities for that delight. They're patient. They wait. They want to be absolutely sure that they're getting into marriage at the right time, with the right person, and for the right reasons, and with the blessing of God. And when they do, well, then they have the delight of that which God has given, and there is no regret. There is no foolishness with it. It is perfectly and absolutely appropriate. Delight is not seemly for a fool. When he gets into a situation where, for his own pleasure, he can pursue sex or money, it'll destroy him and others along with him. All right, so let's look at another delight, and just one more. Pleasure, pleasure. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, look at verse 11. You know, when you have fellowship with God, there is pleasure in our relationship with Him. Psalm 16, verse 11, the Bible says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, 11. That's one of the great blessings of fellowship with God. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's joy, fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11 says. Peace, love, contentment, satisfaction, grace, assurance, purpose, all kinds of things. And all of these things are unlike anything you could ever find in the world. However, these pleasures, listen, are spiritual. They're not carnal. So a person looking for pleasure, carnal pleasure, will pass up Jesus Christ and he'll pursue worldly pleasures. You know what his problem is? Listen, he is a fool. Delight is not seemly for a fool. You know what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says concerning in the last days, perilous times shall come? You know what it says in verse 4? They are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's right. Pursuing worldly pleasures is going to cost you. Now, a fool doesn't know that. You know what? All he knows is the pleasure. All he knows is the feeling. But he doesn't realize how much it's going to cost him. Here's what Solomon said. In Proverbs 21:17, Solomon said, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." There you go. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you know him and I know him too. It's unbelievable how many men have bankrupted themselves morally and financially pursuing pleasure. Pleasures will cost you. Worldly pleasures will choke out the fruitfulness of the Word of God in your life. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, and you're living for pleasure like this world does today, and going along with all that stuff, look at Luke chapter 8. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, we're talking about the interpretation of the parable of the sower and the seed. And in verse 14, Jesus says, "And that which fell among thorns," so that seed fell by the wayside, fell in shallow earth, it fell among thorns, and then it fell on good ground. "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches," watch it, "and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So pursuing worldly pleasures will bankrupt you, the fruitfulness of the Word of God. It'll choke out the Word of God and the fruitfulness of the Word of God in your life. You'll be like, "I've been saved for a long time, just don't understand." Well, you've been spending all your time pursuing worldly, carnal pleasures. And in the worst case, for somebody that's not saved, I'll show you what these worldly pleasures will do. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, and look with me at chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, we're in the middle of a context, but notice that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So most of the pleasures of this world, most of the carnal pleasures are unrighteous. You know, adultery and fornication and drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff, unrighteous pleasures, and people pursue those things. And people who do that, who don't believe the truth, the Bible says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They'll damn your soul. Do you understand? That's why the person is a fool. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And pursuing those worldly carnal pleasures will cost them. They become a poor man. Choke out the fruitfulness of the Word of God. There are many Christians who have been in a situation like that, and they end up damning your soul if you're not saved, because you go right by the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. They are a fool's delight, and delight is not seemly for a fool. Now, you know something? A righteous man would never sacrifice his eternal pleasure with God on the altar of the temporal pleasure of sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 25. Moses was in Egypt and he had it all. He was being raised as Pharaoh's, you know, in Pharaoh's house. And it was just, you know, had everything. He had everything. But he wasn't, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he wasn't an Egyptian. He was an Israelite. And when he saw their affliction, The Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. You know what that passage right there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, 26, and 27 is saying? The pleasures of sin are only for a season. They are temporary. But the pleasures with God, though they may be accompanied with affliction and reproach in this world, they are eternal. And a righteous man would never sacrifice his eternal pleasure with God on the altar of the temporal pleasure of sin. And you know what you've done? You looked at all the worldly carnal pleasure that you could obtain and decided to pursue it. And now you're listening to this radio broadcast and you're hearing this preacher tell you, you messed up. Delight is not seemly for a fool. And you just realized that by pursuing your financial gain, your money, by pursuing your sexual exploits, by pursuing your worldly pleasures, you have sacrificed your eternal pleasure with God, and you know it. You are empty. You are void. There is a hole and a gap inside of you, and there is no joy and peace and love and contentment and satisfaction and grace and assurance and purpose in your life. And you're thinking, what's wrong with God? Nothing's wrong with God. It's wrong with you. Delight is not seemly for a fool. You ruined yourself with that stuff. You say, well, how do I change? You turn back to wisdom. Don't be a fool when it comes to your delight. Be wise. God will give you delight in the things that you thought you were pursuing according to his will and in his time. But what you need to do is delight yourself in the Lord. And these things will change. How desperately you need God more than you needed those things you pursue that have stolen your joy. May God help you when you turn. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.